But as we enter into this new year, it would be really nice if we could just sort of, as easily as we turn the page on a calendar, start with a clean slate. But unfortunately, that's not the hand we were dealt. So, Congressman Eric Massey, here we are entering 2010. It is an election year. And unfortunately, for members of the House of Representatives, you have to go through this dance every 2 years. And I know that you are being targeted pretty heavily up there in upstate New York.
Well, there's no doubt about that. So as 2010 is upon us, step one, I have not yet focused, and I don't think I'm going to do for a while, on the whole concept of election year, not election year. I am actually a big fan of congressional elections every 2 years. It was the genius of the founding fathers who did that. It's a great way of making sure that members of Congress stay in tune and stay responsive to the needs and the representation of their district. Now, you're right. At the national level especially, and permeating every town, village, small city, and municipality in the country, we are still working our way out of a tremendous mess. And I'm going to be very clear about something. It does not help at all when officials from the previous administration stand up and attack this administration for trying to make things better and correct that which we've inherited. We've seen great strides economically. Some of those great strides create concerns. Yeah, we have a federal deficit. You better believe it. But it didn't happen in the last 6 months. It's something that, by and large, was doubled during the past 8 or 9 years. And we will get the economy on sound footing that will generate the revenues to do what was done in the 90s. Let me just remind everybody who's listening to this. The last three budgets of the Clinton administration were balanced. The last two produced surpluses. And we will get there again. There is no doubt about it.
Well, let me ask you this. Congressman Massey, I'm wondering, as I've been sitting here tonight writing my blog and trying to figure out how we got in this mess. And since Dick Cheney has decided to play the blame game, I went back and looked a little bit. And it seems to me the reason we've got this massive deficit, perhaps, is because he and his boss, if you can call it that, got us into these two wars that we shouldn't be in the first place. And on top of that, decided not to pay for them. Because every other time we've been in a war, there has been a tax increase to pay for said war, except this.
So that's been a $3 trillion issue. The war in Iraq alone either spent or obligated $3 trillion. Now, these military operations have fundamentally doubled our budget. They are so much bigger from a fiscal point of view than anything we're discussing about health care or energy. They literally are an elephant in a room full of mice. And yet this former vice president, absolutely, positively refuses to do what every other vice president has done, and that is, let me be blunt, shut up. It is time for former Vice President Dick Cheney to either put up or shut up. And he wants to define the politics of America with a remembrance seance on the incredible failures of his incumbency. I welcome that. I will make it a central theme in campaigns, not only here in my district, but others around the country. It's about time that men like Dick Cheney, who never served in the military, chicken hawks all, stop playing the blame game with this administration as they and others try to find solutions. And I'm sick and tired of it, and I have dedicated efforts to call them out and call it as I see it. It's absolutely not going to get off scot-free anymore on this.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, and I've been hearing you say it. You wrote a wonderful op-ed piece in Huffington Post over the break, really calling not only Dick Cheney out, but Jim DeMint, who seems to be taking his cues from Dick Cheney lately. Are they just trying to rewrite history and just hope that Americans have a really short memory?
Yes, they are, and sometimes Americans do.
Yeah.
It's actually worse with Senator Jim DeMint, because he has personally taken decisions that have placed the American traveling public at increased risk. He is personally and individually the only one responsible for blocking the appointment of the head of the Transportation Security Agency. And without a new permanent director, decisions that must be made cannot be made. And he's doing it out of pure ideological partisanship. And he's got to be held accountable. He's now trying to change his tune. You know, he'll dance on the head of a pin. But the bottom line is Jim DeMint is guilty as charged. And he lied on Sunday when he said he wasn't, and we're going to call him out on this. It's about time we stand up.
He is blocking the appointment of the new head of the TSA because he doesn't agree with collective bargaining. It's all because he's anti-union.
That's correct. And so he said that if you have collective bargaining, it's going to place the nation's security at risk.
Really?
That is a direct and blatant insult, an attack, and an assault on organizations like the New York Fire Department, the New York Police Department, who, when the buildings were on fire, they ran in.
Yep.
And by the way, they obtained their contracts through collective bargaining. Where's Jim DeMint been? Where's his public service other than sitting in the United States Senate blocking this appointment? Why won't he come on TV and debate these appointments? It's because he's a political coward. That's why. And when he's held accountable, he changes his tune. And frankly, I'm sick of it. We have real problems in Washington, D.C. It's about time that real people, not Jim DeMint, not Dick Cheney, stand up and solve them.
You got that right. Congressman Eric Massa is the guy standing up, and I so applaud you. I learned of you a few years ago when the Blue America PAC helped propel you and got behind you and endorsed your candidacy. And again, because you are a member of the House of Representatives, you do have to run every 2 years, and I know the Blue America PAC, once again, is behind you, but I want to make sure people know what a man of your word you are. We are in the midst of this battle towards health care reform. Unfortunately, what it's looking like is the bill we've gotten is not much reform. And you and Dennis Kucinich alone, out of all the members of the House Progressive Caucus who pledged that they would vote against any legislation that didn't contain a robust public option, you and Dennis Kucinich are the only two who did that. Can you see the way that negotiations are going? Now it looks like there will not be a conference committee, but instead a sort of a ping pong thing between the House and the Senate to come up with a final bill. Can you see anything that can be done in the coming weeks that would make this bill so that you could vote for it?
I wish that the 57 members who signed that letter had stood firm.
Yeah, me too.
Because then we would have a lever and a fulcrum. I have been attacked by the left and the right because of the fact that I voted against the House bill, which I saw very problematic, and now it's gotten 10 times worse.
Yeah.
I stood for single-payer health care because I believed in it. I ran on it for 4 years. I was elected to defend it when I got to Washington. They said, you can't do that. It's off the table. But we want you to support a robust public option. I signed the letter. I put my name on it. I stood for a robust public option. They took that off the table and said, well, you got to stand for a diminished public option. Mm. So I said, no. And now they're saying, well, we got to pass something, no public option. At some point, if you don't stand up for something, you are standing up for nothing. And it is my opinion that this bill is the largest taxpayer giveaway to private, for-profit, corporate insurance giants in the history of the nation. It is not an incremental step that we can correct. It's an incredible step in the wrong direction that we're going to be fighting a generation to undo.
Wow. Now, I know that Senator Bernie Sanders got something in it that is akin to the Kucinich Amendment that would have allowed states waivers to enact their own single-payer system. That is in the Senate version. The problem with it is that it does not come into effect until a few years after the exchange is up and running. Bernie Sanders' office, I know, is trying to get it changed so that it would go into effect at the same time as the exchange. If something like that were in the final bill, would that make it palatable?
It would certainly make it better, but remember, nothing happens until 2013.
Yeah.
Except property tax increase in states like mine. We bargained away Medicaid so that a single senator can get a free ride in Nebraska,
yeah,
and states that are under pressure like California and New York pay their way. We have reached a level of absurdity for political purposes. It boiled down to my team against your team. And that's never going to serve the interests of the American people.
I agree.
I've remained a very, very skeptical voice about the direction that we're headed. Now, I don't know what's going to come out of it. It won't be a conference. You're right. It's going to be this amending the Senate bill, which means that most of the language in the House bill goes away.
Yeah.
So why do we even have this debate about H.R. 3200 and H.R. 3296 if we're going to surrender everything in the House again to the Senate?
That is a great question. Eric Massa, I wish I had the answer. And I so applaud you for actually standing up and saying the things that so many of us are thinking. Now, we are waiting on a Supreme Court ruling on this basically a federal elections law on whether or not corporations should be allowed to contribute freely to campaigns, whether or not they should be entitled to this corporate personhood status. It's the Citizens United versus the Federal Elections Commission, and it should have been ruled on earlier, and surprisingly, we didn't get the ruling before the break. This could blow up to the point where there are no more restrictions on corporate campaign contributions. If that happens, do you think that perhaps it's time that the people take back control of government? Because if that happens, we'll effectively have lost everything we had.
So if the Supreme Court lifts all donation restrictions on corporate America, if that happens, here's what's going to occur. There will be a matching, a pairing, corporation to member, because a corporation will be able to give a member $5 million.
Yep.
And that member then will not have to raise any money. Most members of Congress, like myself, spend between 4 and 5 hours a day on the phone calling individual donors and asking for their help. That's about the average, especially for a freshman member who's targeted, who has to raise $2.5 to $3 million to fund a congressional campaign. It is the absurdity of our system, which is why I have always supported clean elections, clean campaigns in the model of the state of Maine at the federal level. And I will continue to push for that. And there is legislation in the House. And if the Supreme Court turns around and lifts all restrictions, this will become a huge issue, because we will have just sold democracy away. I mean, completely. It'll be like saying, well, let's vote for this bill, even though there's no public option. Well, let's have an election, even though there's no campaign contribution restrictions. It will become so bad that I think that even those who are not involved and not motivated will get involved and motivated. I am, according to some sources, the most targeted member of Congress. I'm also one of the most independent voters. And people on both sides get angry at me. You know, everybody loves an independent member of Congress until you are one.
Right.
And as soon as you are one, all of a sudden someone gets very unhappy with you because you're not toeing the party line. I do not look at legislation first and foremost from a political party view. My number one issue is, will this piece of legislation help or make it worse? And if people can't live with that fundamental question, then I probably shouldn't be in Congress.
Well, no, we need more like you in Congress. Congressman Eric Massa with us. One last question, and I appreciate you spending time with us late at night on the phone here. Afghanistan, we have learned a lot since your very impassioned speech on the floor of the House just a few weeks ago saying we need to get out of there. What we've learned in recent days, with the Christmas underwear attempted bombing, he's not in Afghanistan.
Of course he's not.
Right.
This is my whole point. The center, the fulcrum of military action. And remember, I spent my whole life in the military. I was very honored to be the principal military aide to the commander of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, at the time of the Balkans and Bosnian conflicts. So this is what I spent my life doing. I have a master's degree in how to wage war. I mean, it's what I did with my life. There is absolutely no military reason whatsoever to tie down our entire ground force military, all that resources, those lives, and the money to support them in Afghanistan. It is the war that our enemies want us to fight in the manner that they want us to fight it. And anyone that's ever been in the military or in any fight whatsoever knows you win when you don't follow your enemy's rules. It's clear that the fulcrum of Al-Qaeda terrorist attacks is not in Afghanistan. It's not there. So for us to bog our national strategic policy down is the exact wrong mistake. In the clear and quiet of the night, after incredible focus and contemplation, I came to what I believe the inevitable conclusion that we are on the cusp of making a strategic mistake that will rival the decisions that committed us to Iraq. I desperately want this administration and this president to succeed, which is why I am raising my voice in opposition to this decision.
And again, on behalf of many, many people out here like me and like the people who are listening right now, we thank you for that. I know Joe Lieberman just right around Christmas was just saying we should launch a preemptive attack on Yemen. Well, I guess then we should launch a preemptive attack on every other country, because that's where these people could be.
Well, by launching a preemptive attack, we end up creating the very shells and enemies that we are trying to stop. Mm-hmm. America is not a nation of preemptive war.
No.
We never have been a nation of preemptive war. And those of us who have a professional life in the military understand the absurdity of the concept. Absolutely, positively, no one is more focused and more impassioned about finding those who have done or will do us harm. Absolutely, positively. And that's what I did my entire life, and I will continue to do it. But that does not mean that we consume our military in fruitless occupations and nation buildings, whether it's in Yemen or Somalia or Sudan, whether it's in Pakistan or Afghanistan or Iraq. Very soon, that logic would have us occupying the nations of Indonesia, the jungles of Burma, now of Myanmar. It would have us returning to the jungles of the Philippines.
Yep.
It goes on, and it's simply self-destructive.
Yes, and it's creating more enemies than, there's no way to win a war like that anymore. It's a different world. It's a different world.
I absolutely agree. So I am going to continue being relatively visible and relatively forceful. And by the way, the vast majority of my time, as it is tonight, is spent in my district helping my constituents. I'm actually alongside a rather snowy road. Just came from a meeting of a city council to see what we can do to help with infrastructure problems. It's where I spend 90% of my time. And these other very critical national issues, I got to remind people, I'm just a freshman member of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I tell folks, I'm just a country boy from upstate New York. I got 635,000 constituents and 1.2 million cows to worry about. So, that's where I spend the majority of my time. And yes, when it comes to at the right moment, I'm going to fight like you know what to earn the ability to return to represent this district and these issues. But I'm going to need a lot of reinforcements and a lot of help.
You got it. We are there with you. Congressman Eric Massa from New York. And anything you need from us, we're here to help you and return you
Thank
to Congress
you very
again.
Much.